Or maybe you like a story that makes you dream. Like maybe you could be part of it, or maybe one day it could happen to you. Maybe the film Tangled. I think most girls will want to be Rapunzel and have some guy come and rescue you at some point. Those films make us dream and make us feel like we could be part of it. But the truth be told, you know, when you turn off the telly or put down the book, the story stops. And you enter back into the story that you've stepped into with your life. And so my question to you really is do you ever wonder what story you've stepped into? Because I'm going to tell you about a story that I've stepped into, and some of you have also stepped into this story. It's the story of Easter. And this story starts with the need for forgiveness. And this opens the door to a new world, a new cosmos, a new home for the people of this story. A home teeming with life and wonder that lasts for eternity. And this story started to be told by a few people 2,000 years ago. And they told this story to the people of the Roman world, and it spread like wildfire. People from all walks of life joined this story and told this story. And the early followers decided to write this story down so that people like you and me would not miss out on joining this story. And we have the New Testament, and that is the story of Easter. And so, do you ever feel guilty? Ever feel the need to ask someone for forgiveness? Maybe it's the time when your parents ask you to do your homework, and instead you went up that evening and sent some selfies on Instagram and listened to some music and played the PS3 or the Xbox. And then you go down the next morning and you reluctantly get up, as teenagers do, and your mum and dad ask you, "So how did the homework go?" And you're like, "Oh, it was great. Yeah, I did it all. Maths, science, physics." And they believe you because they're your parents, right? I think in that moment, most of us would feel pretty guilty that we've just lied to our parents, the people who trust us and care for us. Or maybe it's the time when you get an invite through your door or through someone else about a party, okay, and this kid you do not want to be seen with. And you don't want to go to this naff party because it's like a 5-year-old party, you know. And so you say to them, "Oh, I'm busy, I'm sorry. I really can't go. I've got plans." And you've just lied to someone. I mean, I think most people at that moment will feel guilty. So I think most of us can admit that there's times where we need to ask for forgiveness. But maybe we don't because we don't know whether they're going to forgive us, right? I mean, people find it hard to forgive. Maybe you find it hard to forgive others. And so the story of Easter starts with the claim that you need to be forgiven. Not by man, but by the God who created you. And people say to me, "Wait a minute, Nick, if there is a God, then surely he would not allow such pain and suffering in the world. You know, the world is so messy, and I think we can see that. You can just think of the story in South Korea. The pain that people are going through there." And the way I answer that question is, and the way I will answer it to you tonight, if you're thinking that, why does God allow such mess? Well, maybe he's not to blame. Maybe we're to blame. Maybe we've caused the pain and suffering in this world. And you might say, "Well, wait a minute, I'm not some sort of Hitler or some dictator or murderer on death row. I'm just a kid or an adult." But, you know, let me say this to you. I think most of us buy our clothes from places like Primark and Asda. And those clothes are made by children. Let me tell you a little story. Her name's Lena, and she began working for a garment factory at the age of 13. It's probably the age most of you are at. And she was the oldest of 8 children, and her parents became unable to pay for her education. And when her brother became really sick, she moved from her village to a town nearby. And she's now 22, and she's been working in a factory all her life since the age of 13. And she gets a wage of £17 a month. And to get that amount of money, she has to work between 60 and 90 hours a week. Let me tell you this, none of your parents will be working that amount. And if they do, they will be getting paid for it. And to be honest with you, I've probably got some Primark clothes on tonight. And I'm funding this. Or maybe you buy food from supermarkets, and these supermarkets do not give to the people who grow the food what they deserve. I'm so thankful for fair trade, looking to give people what they deserve. And so we support supermarkets. And I hear people complaining about the cost of living, saying it's becoming really expensive. Do we really have the nerve to say that when there's people right now dying because they don't have any clean water? And we can stock our shelves with water from all around the world. I think we're to blame and not God. And so when Jesus says these words, "The Lord your God is one, so love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence and energy." And here is the second thing you should do, Jesus says. Love others as well as you love yourself. Love people how you want to be loved. There's no greater commandment than these two. Loving God and loving your neighbor. And I think we all fall short of this. And we can see what happens when we fall short of this. The world is a broken place. And so God expects of you, rightly, that you would love him with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And so one of the early followers of this story of Easter says this. Paul says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We glorify what we enjoy most, and it's not God. If I was to ask you, what are the things that you enjoy most? I very much doubt that God would be on the top of that list. It may be. But if I was honest, it probably wouldn't be. So you and I have loved other things more than God. And this is the problem. And this word may be clunky, and I was anxious to use it, but I have to use it because it's true. We have sinned. And sin is dishonoring God by preferring other things and acting on those preferences. And this sin has separated us from God. God created you so that you could be with him. And we have been separated from him since the first people ever lived, since Adam and Eve. The world has been separated from God. And then something extraordinary happened. Something amazing happened 2,000 years ago, one morning. And you see, the people at the time, okay, people who followed Jesus, they believed in a God who will turn up. We got this present age, so they believed that this age was really in a bad place. And they believed that God would turn up at one point in time and the dead will rise. The people of God, the Jews, will rise from the dead when God turned up. And he would do away with this world and they will be with him forever. And so when the disciples heard that Jesus has been raised from the dead, they realized this changes everything. And this wasn't some resuscitation. Maybe some of you went to Soul Survivor and you heard about Danielle Strickland and she told of that amazing moment when God raised that woman from the dead. That's a resuscitation. Jesus was resurrected into a glorious new body, shining in glory that will never perish. And what this meant for the disciples, and what it means for you, what it means for you and for your friends, all your friends, what it means for this world is this. That this longing for God to come and to make all things new has started to come because Jesus has been raised from the dead. One has been resurrected. The news of Easter, the story of Easter, is that God's new world has been unveiled in Christ, and the new creation, the redeeming, the making new of all the brokenness has started to come, and you are able to belong to it right now. And David said last Sunday morning, the Easter story is about the real Jesus coming out of the real tomb and getting God's real new creation underway. Let me tell you this, heaven is not the end of the world. You know, Jesus, when he was raised from the dead, he went up to the Father in a place that we can see and understand as a heavenly place. But let me tell you, he's coming back at some point. And we experience the kingdom of God, the new creation, in a partial way now, but when he comes back, we will fully realize it. And this may seem bonkers to you. Let me tell you, it's bonkers to me, and it was bonkers to the early disciples, but they believed it. Because they realized it was true. And the reason you can belong to it, the reason you and me can belong to it, is because when Christ died on the cross 3 days before, he was raised. He died for your sins and took on God's rightful anger at what injustice we have caused in the world. The Bible says this, Christ redeemed us from the very curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. Christ died under your curse, the curse of your sin, so that when Christ comes back, you will be raised to a new life. The thing is, Christ is the first fruit of the resurrection of all who are in this story. And you are to live in that new creation. And right now, in this age, the people of this story can ask God this, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So I want to speak to a few of you now, and I think each one of us falls in this category. The first are those who haven't joined this story, the story of Easter, the story of the new creation coming. Yet maybe you want to tonight. You want to join it. I mean, who wouldn't? And like every person who has heard this story and come into this story from the first people 2,000 years ago until now, the response is rather simple, yet it is life-changing. You are to repent. And that is pulling your hands up and saying, Lord, I need your forgiveness. Because I realize that I have sinned against you. It's just acknowledging that you need him and you need his salvation. And so you're to believe that in Christ you are forgiven. You can say, I am forgiven. And you're to realize that the kingdom of God is at hand, right here, right now. And the second group is to those who are like me, who can identify that they are part of this story, yet you feel really dirty because you realize, maybe even just now, or even you've been realizing for a while, you've been preferring other things over him, your Savior. And you've been acting on those preferences. And I think you know what they may be. And so you're like, has he really forgiven me? Because I'm just messing up all the time. I don't feel very holy. And I think God is wanting to say to you tonight, so this is you. God is saying, if you believe in me, then you are forgiven. And you are my child, and I love you. And my forgiveness is not like the world's forgiveness. He's not excusing you of what you have done. Rather, he's forgiving you. I don't know if many of you have read the stories of C.S. Lewis, the Narnia books. They're pretty wonderful. And the film as well, that gets me. I love that story. He says this about forgiveness. And this is the forgiveness God gives to you. Yes, you have done this thing. But I accept your apology, and I will never hold it against you, and everything between us two will be exactly as it was before. If you're in Christ, then you're forgiven. Christ has dealt with your sin, past, present, future, and he is with the Father. Right now in glory, loving you and for you. And some of you, before I finish, might be thinking, well, is this really true? All this need for forgiveness and the need for the resurrection, the need for forgiveness. And I love saying this. You only know how good a torch is, not by looking at it, but by seeing how much it lights up in the dark place you're at. And that's the same with the Easter story. It makes sense of the world. It makes sense of the darkness. It's a really good torch. And I'm going to end just by sharing just some amazing things that I've experienced, that I've seen, living for Jesus, living in the partly realized age. But let me just have a glass of water. Sorry. It is true, you do get a dry mouth when you talk. I've only been following Jesus for a little over 3 years. And I've seen some amazing things. And a lot of you, you've grown up at church, and you may not have experienced these sort of things. But let me tell you, God is at work here, and he's calling us to have this level of faith, and he's able to do these bonkers things here. You know, I was in Japan, and I love my time out there, and I met so many amazing people who are part of this story. And I heard of this guy, and he was in a prayer meeting, a worship time, kind of like this, and he felt God say to him, I want you to go to China. for the next couple of weeks. And this guy is a YWAM guy, okay? And YWAM is Youth for a Mission, so you could be part of this one day. YWAM students have no money. I mean, they don't have any money, really. They're living on the edge. And so he had no money to go to China. And he was in Tokyo, but he felt God say to him, go to the airport. And so he went to the airport, and he saw the check-in for China. And God said, I want you to line up in that queue. And so he's lining up, and it's getting closer and closer to the lady. And tell you what, he was pretty nervous at this point, because he had no money on him. And he's going to ask the lady if he can go to China. And so he gets up, and he gets called over. And he goes up to the lady, and she says, look, I really don't know how to say this because it hasn't happened before, but the guy in front of you has just asked if he can give you his ticket to China. God is at work. I mean, how bonkers is that? I heard of this other guy who felt that God was saying to him, I want you to go and speak to the Emperor of Japan. The Emperor of Japan is like a god, okay? And God was saying to him, I want you to go to the palace and I want you to ask to speak to him. And so he made his way up. And I'm sure there was a lot of doubt at this point whether this could happen. And I reckon he was probably thinking, well, I'm just going to see. It probably won't happen, but if I'm a little bit obedient, then God's going to be okay. And so he goes up to the guard. And the guard, and he explains, you know, I want to speak to the emperor. I've got something to tell him. And the guard didn't know much English, and so he went into his booth and he got on the phone and he came back and he said to the guy, just follow me. And so they walked through the palace and they go through many rooms and they get to this big double door. And the guard said, I'm really sorry, but the emperor's not in today. But the government are meeting in this room. And they would like to hear the message that you were going to give to the emperor. I mean, imagine going up to to London and asking, speaking to the queen. But God is at work. And he went in and he told them the good news of Jesus, the Easter story that he's part of. And God's at work here in remarkable ways. You know, I was part of the thing called the night shelter. And I remember one night, on a Sunday, and five of the homeless guys come in and they're just so buzzing and happy. And you know, what's happened? Have you been rehoused or something? No. They're on the Alpha weekend away and God has filled them with his spirit. And two of them received the gift of tongues, the ability to talk to God in a heavenly language. Wow. Homeless people coming to know Jesus. And so I want to encourage you to become part of this story, and if you're already part of it, to know that there is such an amazing future ahead of you. And you get to live with the longing for the new creation, and you get to experience and taste it now. And so the band are going to come up. My prop's going to be taken down, I'm sure. And we're going to worship Jesus, the light of the world. And then we're going to take part in one of the most amazing meals, the most amazing meal ever given to man. And I'm just going to lead us in that after this first song.